We are running the only race that matters. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that we are to run this race that's set before us with endurance. Amen? Never giving up, being dedicated, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to Love Never Fails. Today in Pastor Bill's study from 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gives a strong message of endurance and hope. Perseverance is at the heart of our study today, and I know you'll be encouraged. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's study, The Power of Grace.
Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about the power of grace. Say that with me, the power of grace. Whenever you think of grace, of course, we're saved by grace and justified and sanctified and glorified one day, all those things. But do you ever think that grace is more than just pardon, that grace is power? And grace is power. This morning, we're going to look at that like never before, I hope, and I hope that we never forget the words this morning. Remember that 2 Timothy, this is the last, well, we could call it the last will and the last testament or the last epistle letter of the greatest apostle that ever lived. And so he is writing to his son, his spiritual son in the faith, Timothy. 83 verses, and they're all to me some of the greatest penmanship from the power of the Holy Spirit in God's Word. Remember that Paul is writing from Rome. He is in the Mamertine prison all the way down into the dungeon where the sewer is. There's that gigantic hole overhead that allows the light to come through so he can see during the day and then also the air circulation because of the stench that is present. With all that being said, Paul knows that his departure is at hand. He understands. He's passing the torch now, if you will, the baton on to Timothy. And he knows that Nero soon will be executing him. Now, with all of that being said this morning, let's begin and look at the power of grace there in verse 1. When Paul says unto Timothy, he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in your own strength." No. Be strong in the what? That's a great word. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now listen carefully. Whenever Paul uses the word "you" there, it's emphatic. It's not plural like written to the whole church. He's speaking directly now to the heart of Timothy. He knows what he's about to face. And he says, "Timothy, listen." He says, "You have a responsibility now. I'm passing everything over to you. You have been with me with Paul now for 20 years. And there Paul writing to him, he's in chains, and he says, "Timothy, to you personally, listen carefully." And he uses the word "therefore." He goes back then to chapter 1 from last Sunday, verse 15, when Paul is mentioning to him all those that have turned away from him, that he's all alone. And he says, "Timothy, you now, I'm giving you the deposit. I'm entrusting to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are to guard that, and you're also to join with me in the suffering for the gospel." And then he says something. There's only one way that you can do it. And there's only one way to be strong with the things that you're being called to now. And that is in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a command where he says, "Listen, Timothy, you've got to be strong." But listen carefully now. It's not outer strength that he's talking about. He's talking, literally it would read in the Greek, be strong or be empowered within Timothy. And the resource that he needs for this strength to do the job he's called to do and for us to do the job we've been called to do is grace, the unmerited, undeserved, unearned, divine favor of the living God. Amen? Oh, what a beautiful word grace is to the Christian. And look at the location of this grace. It is in or found in and union with, if you will, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1:17, it says that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So this command, Timothy, be strong. That command in the 21st century is to us as well. Be strong in a world that is falling, well, not falling apart, really is falling into place. Amen? Be strong in a world that doesn't have any strength. Be strong in a world that is filled with fear and uncertainty. A world that literally, our nation, for example, a nation that has lost its spiritual compass. Amen? He says, Timothy, you got to be strong, and we need to be strong. Empowerment for ministry, empowerment for serving, empowerment for forgiving. Matter of fact, to do anything for Jesus Christ, it is all founded upon the grace that has been given unto us. Amen? And how we need that. We're not to do anything in our own strength because our strength is not very good. Amen? And so he tells Timothy that. Listen to me now. Grace is more than justification. It's more than salvation. It's more than sanctification. Grace is more than pardon. Thank God for that. Grace, God's grace, is power toward us. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 5:2 that we stand in the grace of God. You do 24/7. Whatever you need, God's grace can do it. Is God's grace unlimited? Absolutely. Everything we need is in grace. And Paul says here, Timothy, you've got to stay. You've got to keep yourself right there in that kind of grace. And how is he to do it? How are we to do it? How do we do anything when it comes to the Word of God? Faith. Thank you. We have to believe the promises of God. We have to know that God's commandments are always our enablements. Amen? The Bible tells us that we appropriate everything in the Word of God by faith. Matter of fact, faith, Hebrews 11:6, is the only thing that pleases God. And so without faith, it's impossible to please Him, Scripture says. So whatever Timothy is going to be faced with, grace, there is enough grace to see him through. Whatever you're faced with in your life, what are you faced with right now? Or that area that you don't think is, I don't have what I need to make it. No, you don't. But yes, you do. You have the grace of God. Amen? I mean, think about it. The unearned, undeserved, unmerited, divine favor of the only true God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, His grace rests on you right this minute. Right this minute. There's not one thing that God cannot supply in our lives. Amen? And so here, you know, you say, well, Timothy, how is he going to do all that? By faith. One scholar writes this. He says, there's nothing that can make us as strong as saying and believing, I'm a child of God in Christ Jesus, and I have the love and the favor of God, even though I don't deserve it. This is the strength that comes by grace. You see, here's the problem. A lot of believers, they don't really understand grace. You know, if you don't understand grace, you will never truly understand the gospel. Amen? Listen, what Jesus did on the cross for the world, for us, Jesus said, it is finished. Listen, what Jesus did on the cross, God's grace is never going to change toward you. And His grace is unlimited. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounded. Amen? Super abounded. And so we know it's easy to say we're saved by grace, and thank God that we are. The Bible tells us a lot about grace. It tells us that we should be strong in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. That's the last words from Peter. He said, boy, be strong. Get that knowledge into you about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If we have a need, where do we run to? Where does a believer run to whenever we have a need in our life? The throne of grace. Is there any accusations against you at the throne of grace? No. Have they all been paid for? Yes. And you're invited to come. He says to come boldly. That means with confidence, with assurance, with freedom. Come boldly to the throne of grace, the place where you can obtain mercy, help, grace in time of need, or literally when you need it. How do you get that? How do you get what you need? Well, you believe that God's word is true. Amen. Amen. So that's what we need to do. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:13 about grace. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, Be sober and rest or set your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation or the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Timothy, Paul says, Timothy, you must believe and walk in and appropriate that you have that God-centered grace to do the job that you need to do. Listen, could Timothy live the Christian life in his own strength? No. Can we? Absolutely not. What did Jesus tell us? He said, without me, John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. And I always like to say, look up that word nothing, and you know what it means?
Nothing.
That's right. Nothing. That means you need him for absolutely everything. Paul the Apostle told the church at Philippi, he said in Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. That strength is always in Christ. What did he tell the church there at Ephesus? He said in Ephesians 6:10, he says, finally, brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because the power of his might is absolutely unlimited. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we think or ask according to the what? The power that works in us. Loved one, we have everything that we need. Grace, the power of grace. I thank God that we have that this morning. I'm so sorry you have to forgive me about that. You know what I think happened to you? Would you like me to tell you? No, I'm not. I haven't had an allergy issue for a long time, but boy, it just hit me in that first service. It's because I think I'm allergic to sheep. I don't really know, but it's really getting to me, you know. Now, the Bible tells us, we learned in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, I think it was verse 8, and it talks about how God called us and how God saved us, not according to our own works. Oh, no, but how did he call us? He said, God called us according to his own purpose. Here it comes, and the grace that was given to us. Given, it's a gift. Given unto us, bestowed upon us, lavishly bestowed upon us. The gift that was given to us, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, Paul the Apostle is telling Timothy, he says, you know what, Timothy, the same grace that you're walking in right now is the same grace that made me who I am. Let me give you that scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And you know what? Every one of us can say the same thing. Amen? It's by God's unmerited favor, undeserved favor. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me. Oh, it wasn't in vain. It wasn't empty. It worked. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, meaning all the other apostles. He says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, listen to what he says. Yet not I. I didn't do the laboring. Here it comes. But the grace of God which was with me. The grace of God that was with me. The grace of God is with you right now. Listen, Paul suffered more, worked harder, more than any of the other apostles. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen? Listen, Paul knew it wasn't his power. He knew it was God's grace. Now listen carefully. Satan doesn't want you to be strong in grace. He doesn't want you to be a student of God's grace. Satan wants you to have a legalistic mindset. You know, he doesn't care if you believe in grace, but he wants you to live in a sphere in your life, in your walk, that's outside of the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God, even though you have it. See, what he wants you to do, he loves for Christians to have instead of a living fellowship with the Lord, relationship, he wants you to have a legal relationship. In other words, he knows if you have a legal relationship with God, he knows that you're going to live a defeated life. Amen? Because see, if you're not going to operate in grace, you're going to operate in something else. Well, I'm going to be good. I'm going to do this. Well, you can't do that without grace. Matter of fact, you can't do anything without God's grace if you're a Christian. Amen? Yeah, and so the fact of the matter is that, I don't know about you, but a set of rules just doesn't work. How much power does your rules have? Anybody made a New Year's resolution? Huh? Come on. You know, I mean, we can make all the rules we want, but there's no power in our human rules. But man, when you obey God's rules, there's where the power is. Amen? And Satan doesn't want that at all. And you know, one of the problems is many believers, you know why they're not strong and they're hindered to being strong? The main reason is this, is that because they are never, ever convicted of their own weakness. Never. Listen, have you gotten to a point in your life where you realize that you can absolutely do nothing without Him? Nothing. When we are weak, He is strong. Boy, He loves to work in weak people, fragile people, people that just said, Lord, I can't do it without You. I can't do a thing without You. And I tell you what, loved one, that's exactly where we should be living. We have an incredible gift called grace. We can't earn it, and we have a strength that cannot be measured. Is there anyone capable of measuring the strength and power of God? No. Is there anyone able to measure the grace of God? No, God's grace is absolutely unlimited. Calvin said this about grace. He said, Christ is much more powerful to save than Adam was to destroy when it comes to the grace of God. Boy, that's a true word. Listen, he goes on and he says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Now, what are the things that Timothy heard from Paul? Are you ready for this? This is Paul's last letter, so that means that Timothy heard 2/3 of the New Testament from Paul and was taught it. Amen? So then that's what you call quite a lot. And so now Paul is going to do something. He says, Timothy, for all these years, in my last letter, I'm writing to you now. He says, I have poured my life and the Word of God into you. Now, Timothy, it's your turn. You're going to have to do the things that I did to others. And that's why he says, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So, Timothy, you're more than a pastor. Now you're a steward. And the word commit means to entrust, like the deposit. And we know that the deposit is the good news of Jesus Christ or the gospel. And so what does Paul do? He says, Timothy, I'm giving you 2 qualifications as you look out among the sheep. He says, the first qualification is this, is their character. They have to be faithful men, meaning committed men, reliable men. And the second characteristic is that they learn to be able to teach, meaning that is a gift of the Spirit, amen, to be a pastor, teacher, and so forth. So the ability to labor in God's Word, the ability to study God's Word, the ability to teach God's Word, it doesn't come from human strength. It comes from God's grace. Amen? You know, the Bible says, remember what it says when Jesus, he who descended also ascended, and as he did, he gave gifts unto men, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 and following. And he says, and one of the gifts that he gave was pastor teacher. Amen? So that's a gift from God. It's not something that without that you have no grace, you have no power. So Timothy, here's the deal. I'm entrusting this to you. Now I want you to reproduce others. And that's really the true way it should be done in the church. Amen? Is that reproduction? The ministry of multiplication where you pour the Word of God into other people and so forth. So he says, I'm passing the torch on to you. Now, question. Even though now he has all the grace that is needed, how is Timothy, or any of us, how can we ever fulfill the mission from Paul to Timothy that is now being passed on to him? So here's what Paul does. He gives us, he gave Timothy, 3 imperatives or 3 commands, and then followed with 3 illustrations. Let's look at the first one. The first one is this. Timothy is to battle like a soldier. Look at verse 3. You therefore must, not an option, Timothy, you have to do this. You must endure, or literally, you must suffer hardship as a what kind of soldier? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our commanding officer. Amen? And we're all in the army. We're all in His army. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that, did you know the Lord is a man of war? Revelation 19:11, it says, and with justice and truth, He wages war. Listen, Jesus is going to come back at the second coming. You understand? Oh, loved one, listen. He says right here, he says, you are a soldier. Be brave. Endure hardship. Timothy was in a spiritual battle, and we are in a spiritual battle, aren't we? And the only way that we're going to ever operate in this world is through the strength of the Lord. You know, be a good soldier. Are you a good soldier of Christ? I think there might be a lot of us who are AWOL. Is that an army term, right? I've been out so long, I don't want to know what it means. Or how about a POW? That's prisoner of war. You know, it says be a good soldier. I don't know if you, I'm a veteran. I served in the armed forces many years ago, before many of you were probably born. And you know, the thing is that if you've ever been in the military, maybe the Marines, you know, or the Army, I don't know about those other two, but I'm teasing. You know, does a soldier give up his rights? You don't have any rights. When you raise your hand and you're sworn in, your civilian life is over. Do you understand? You're under military law now. You're not in a civilian law. And not only that, you are to follow your commander. Whatever they tell you to do, that's what you do. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but every one of you this morning, you're just like Timothy. You're no different. You are on active duty right now. You're not on leave. You're on active duty. And you're not going to be on furlough, loved one, until you get to heaven. Amen? Matter of fact, you know, right this very moment, our present command, our present assignment, where is it? Fort Worth. Where's our outpost? Camargo, amen? Our orphanage is there. Listen, if you ever served in the military, you know the routine. You're sworn in at the AV station in Dallas. I don't know if they still do that or not. And I'll never forget, man, listen, when I left, it was in the 60s, and they put you on a plane. And back then, you know, it was, well, never mind, I don't want to go into that. It was a jet, though, okay? And so we flew from Dallas to El Paso, Fort Bliss, of course, where I took my basic training. And I'll never forget as long as I live, the moment they, you know, they open the door, and we have to walk out on the tarmac. There's not any of those fancy things. I forget what they're called now. You walk through so you don't get wet from the rain. And when I got on out the door and I looked at the tarmac, I saw such a kind-looking man with the Smokey the Bear hat. And there were yellow footprints painted on the asphalt. And he yelled, I mean, I can't do that with my throat. He yelled, "Put your feet in the yellow footprints now." He didn't say, "Hello, welcome." Do you understand? And I knew, I still remember his name, Vandy Stevens. He was the meanest man I ever met in my life. Do you understand? I mean, I have nightmares still about this guy. You know, and there I knew the moment. I knew I was in trouble. What did they do? All of a sudden, you lose everything you have. How about your civilian clothes? Can you wear your civilian clothes? No. Aren't you glad that we're clothed with Christ? Amen? Yes. And they box up your clothes, and what do? You have to mail them back home, and you pay for it. And then they give you that great haircut. You know, they let you go pick out your clothing. Would you like this color, this color? No, what did they do? What color was it? OD green, my favorite color. And then my drill sergeant, he was so loving, so tender, tucked me in bed at night. Listen, you're in the Army. You do what you're told. And they can, in a moment's notice, they can ship you anywhere in the world without your consent, and they don't care who it affects. Do you know that? Yep. Not only that, the moment that you're in the Army and you start learning what to do, how to be a soldier, do they issue you a weapon? Yes. And are you to learn that weapon, use that weapon, train with that weapon, clean that weapon? Yep. Yes. Why? It defends. That's what you're going to protect your life with. Now, has God done the same thing? If you're in God's army, does he give you anything to protect you? Of course he does. The angels of God are all around you. God is right there with you. The Holy Spirit is there. But he's also given you the entire armor of God. You know, one of them, it says, take up the shield of faith by which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, the devil. Amen? You have everything you need, but you have to take it up. So you have all the armor of God. The Bible tells us we have other things. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They're pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Amen? We cast down lies, and we do it with the truth. James 4:7, submit unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll run. Actually, he will run in terror. Isn't that amazing?
Well, we're out of time for today, but please tune in tomorrow to hear the conclusion to The Power of Grace. We want to thank you for listening, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.